From the KTOO newsroom in Juneau, I'm Yvonne Crumry. At least two children needed medical attention this week after someone sprayed bear spray on a slide in Juneau's Twin Lakes Park. George Schaff, the city's Parks and Recreation Director, said the first report came in on Tuesday.
We got a report from a parent who let us know that their child had encountered some kind of irritant in one of the slides at the playground. And when we sent a crew out there to take a look at it, it was pretty apparent that it was bear spray.
The crew found a can of bear spray nearby. They closed the playground and started cleaning.
They tried everything we could think of, used Dawn dish soap and pressure washing and scrubbing, and thought we got it pretty good and pretty clean.
The playground reopened on Thursday, but another report of a hurt child came later in that day, so the city closed both slides indefinitely.
I think probably the best thing we can do right now is let them air out a little bit and see if it'll dissipate that way. And, you know, we'll continue trying to clean them. But if we're unable to get it safe for folks to use, we'll end up having to replace them.
The city is asking anyone with information about the incident to contact the Juneau Police Department. The lack of affordable housing is a crisis across Alaska. It's one of the reasons the state is losing working-age people every year. Labor shortages and high cost of supplies contribute to the slow pace of building new housing, but leaders in one interior village are using grant funding and other creative solutions to keep families. Alaska Public Media's Rachel Cassandra has more.
Emily Penn just moved into a new four-bedroom house with her boyfriend and her two toddlers. They live in the interior village of Huslia.
There's so much more room.
Before this, Penn says she and 11 family members were crammed into a three-bedroom house. She says she loved living with family, but it was crowded. Now her kids are taking advantage of the new space.
They love it. They can run around everywhere. And they have their own rooms and a playroom.
Housing shortages are a consistent problem throughout Alaska, but building new housing is more challenging in rural areas, where costs are almost always higher and it's difficult to transport supplies. And in rural villages, even losing one family is difficult. If someone has to leave Huslia, they're leaving family, a tight-knit community, ties to Athabascan culture, and closeness to nature. Chief Carl Brigette is the first chief of the Huslia tribe. Chief Brigette says he wants to make sure all 360 people who live in the village can stay.
If you have a loss here, it's not one family that suffers. We all suffer because that one person's connected to everybody.
Huslia is on the banks of the Koykan River, a tributary of the Yukon. The village is concerned about erosion, so Penn's new home is far from the bank. It's in a row of five identical houses with beige siding and blue roofs along a sandy road. They were funded by a federal COVID relief grant. Residents pay utility bills but no mortgage payments. The aim is to reduce the number of families living with multiple generations under one roof. And with that same funding, the village repaired 10 crumbling roofs to extend the life of existing homes. Chief Brigette says Huslia needs to keep building to allow the community to expand.
To have a thriving community, you actually have to have projects year after year, or else you'll have out-migration. So a community of my size, we have to have anywhere from $2 to $3 million of work annually.
Chief Brigette knows jobs are part of the equation, too. So he says he's worked hard to keep the labor local. He says the five houses were built with 100% local labor.
When you do have projects, you can't hire everybody. So like us, we kind of look at trying to focus to hire one from each family. So each family benefits from not only somebody getting a house in the community, but actually benefit from one of their family members earning wages.
New houses don't become available often, and the demand far outstrips supply. The tribe got about 60 applications for the blue-roofed houses. But for many years, leaders in Huslia have kept costs low for people who want to build their own home. Residents can apply for a free piece of village land.
They make a request for the lot. They have 5 years to construct a home, but we do not charge for the acre of land or whatever lot is turned over.
Chief Brigette says for now he's grateful that in the past few years, 15 families have gotten new or repaired housing. He's not sure how funding will come together in the future, but he does know that people in Huslia stay for a reason. The sense of community is strong, and people live a subsistence lifestyle Chief Brigette says would be hard to find in other places.
In my mind, we're kind of going against the grain. They're not going to drive us out of the woods. We're going to stay here. This is our roots. It's a beautiful community.
Chief Brigette has one more year in his term, and he says they're on track to see 5 to 7 more homes finished before then. If Penn and her family hadn't gotten their house, they would have left Huslia. But Penn didn't want to move.
I wanted to stay here, just be with my family.
If they'd left, she and her kids would have had to take a charter plane to visit her family. In Huslia, I'm Rachel Cassandra.
Sitka Senator Bert Stedman says that the legislature will not allow the earnings reserve of the Alaska Permanent Fund to run dry over the next 4 years, which would mean no annual dividend check for residents. Nevertheless, the Sitka Republican and co-chair of the Senate Finance Committee says there is an alarm bell ringing, and legislators are going to have to make some tough and possibly unpopular decisions to keep the permanent fund healthy. Stedman was recently back in his hometown and spoke with KCAW's Robert Woolsey.
There was concern over the permanent fund earnings reserve, which is the portion of the fund available to both pay for government services and pay dividends to residents, during the regular legislative session this spring. But with so many other bills and hearings in play, it didn't get much notice. Then in July, at the quarterly meeting of the Alaska Permanent Fund Board of Trustees, CEO Devin Mitchell reported that even with relatively favorable investment returns, the spendable portion of the fund would be exhausted by the summer of 2027.
Most people didn't want to hear it. The people in the financial arena recognized the fire alarm was starting to ring.
Sitka Senator Bert Stedman has served in the legislature for 20 years. He is an ardent conservative in the original sense of that word. He is not going to spend down the permanent fund, the state's $80 billion oil wealth nest egg, to resolve short-term budget problems or to placate the constituencies of newer members who've been promised unrealistically large dividends. But he's only one legislator among 60. Not everyone in the Capitol or in the governor's office is on the same page.
If the legislature goes haywire and does all these overdraws and these starts pulling out, you know, $2.8 billion for dividends, the House will be on financial fire, and it won't be easy to put out. So that was one of the big driving factors why the Senate refused to overdraw the permanent fund, refused to do a large dividend. It wasn't because we don't want to pay out things that are popular and the people want. It's sometimes there's just financial necessity. You have to deal with it, just like your personal checkbook. You know, there's sometimes you just got to do what you got to do.
That means limiting the size of permanent fund dividends. For the last half dozen years, the legislature has put 5% of the permanent fund's market value into the earnings reserve where it can be spent. The governor has argued for a 50-50 split of the earnings reserve between dividends and state government. The Senate disagreed and passed a dividend calculated on just a quarter of the earnings reserve, which would still come to about $1,300 for every Alaska resident. The House hasn't accepted the new split yet, so other measures were enacted to keep the earnings reserve afloat, such as cutting corners on inflation-proofing the permanent fund itself. Any other year, the legislature would have returned over $4 billion to the fund's main account. This year, that didn't happen.
I think we put in a little over $1 billion, holding back some liquidity. We can do the same thing next year. In their calculations, they look at fully funding the inflation proofing. We could skip it for a year or two if we had to, or reduce it like we did this year to keep the dividend stream going and then pick it up when the markets become more robust. But what you can't do is start overdrawing the permanent fund.
There is another strategy that's gaining momentum in the legislature, which would end the fight over the earnings reserve, and that's ending the earnings reserve itself. Instead of two accounts, just have the main permanent fund account and set a hard cap in the Constitution on withdrawals, which would prevent future legislatures from spending it all away. Stedman is a fan.
Yes, no doubt about it. And that would protect the permanent fund, except if there's a super need where you had to go to the public and they'd have to vote to take it out. Which of the people would if we had a big earthquake or some really nasty disaster? But other than that, I don't think they would. And that would force the legislature and the administration and the entire state to live with a 5% range. But it takes a constitutional amendment.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Robert Woolsey.